All right. We're going to be in the book of Jude today. Jude is one of those books that, and I hope that after we're done today looking at this book, that we would see that it's very fitting before it goes before the book of Revelation. Jude has no chapters. It's got one chapter. It's got like 23 verses, 26 verses, something like that. It just doesn't have a whole lot. And so, when God has this Bible that He has, and He could make it thick, the Bible says that, I think it's in, is it in Luke, near the end of Luke, maybe? This says all the things that Jesus had done, and all the miracles, and all the things that weren't recorded in this book. But these things were recorded so that you may know that Jesus is the Son of God, and by believing in Him that you would have eternal life. So there's a lot of things that God could have put in here, but He chose these certain things. So, no chapters, one chapter, several verses. The only time we see Jude writing in the New Testament, predominantly, was Paul. So, God has got something to say in this book. We're going to take a quick look at it. Jude 3 and 4. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, means to fight for the faith, which was once and for all delivered to the saints. We're not expecting something else to come. We're not looking for anything else. In Christ, once and for all, the truth has been delivered to us. Verse 4, for certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turned the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. When I was reading, this verse tripped me up. For certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out. And so I wondered, who are these people? I mean, they're talking about they crept into the church, but wouldn't it concern you if somebody had crept into your house unnoticed and that they were watching and waiting? Wouldn't it bother you just a little bit? But this is the house of God, right? This is just the church. We're here for an hour, 2 hours maybe, and then we're gone, right? Who cares? We care. God has given us a warning here. And the magnitude of this warning, when he goes through this and He begins to give us this, He covers a lot of ground to show us how important it is for us to realize the things that are going on around us. Jude 5, and the context here is those who have crept in. He says, but I want to remind you, though you once knew this, he's not talking about the unsaved, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. Do you think in your life as you go about your daily routines and read a little scripture, you do a little praying, you do a little eating, you do a little working out, you have a little time with the kids, a little time with the wife, and then you go to bed and start it all over again. Do you think that somewhere in there that you might find yourself and you come to a place where you don't believe? See, these people that have crept in, he's saying that they were once saved people when they were delivered out of the hands of Egypt and they went across the desert. They came to a place where they looked at their circumstances and they thought God couldn't be involved in this, and they were more concerned about what they were doing, how they were feeling, and all these things versus what God was thinking and what God had in store. I don't know what you could do when you're wandering through the desert in 40 years. Larry was talking about that this morning. I mean, you're walking through a desert. You're not going from one house to another. You're just walking through the desert. All these people had to do was worship God, and they came to a place where they just didn't believe God was involved in what was going on in their life. So the ones we have crept into our house appears to be our friends, but they're not. We will listen, it seems, to everyone, but for scriptures for answers. You see, when we have a question, we have problems in our life. I know that Scripture doesn't say, okay, Calvin, don't buy the Jeep because you won't like the way it shifts from first to second gear and it'll drive you nuts. Don't buy that car. Buy something else. that God doesn't say that. And by the way, it does drive me nuts. I don't know why they would build a car like that. It revs up first gear, and when it hits second, it just, whoosh, just bottoms out. I don't understand. But anyway, so sometimes when we read Scripture, we might not think that we're looking for an answer. But see, God has a path that we should be on. Okay? And we're on a path. And so if we read Scripture, God is showing us the things that He wants. He's encouraging us and leading us in a certain way. Because see, these people here that have crept into the church and have crept into our homes and crept into our lives, we haven't seen them. And God says up there that who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. God's not going to trick you. There are people that are coming into your life today. There are people that are around you today that even though they may not come to say, I want to lead you away from the church. I want to take you away from church. I don't want you to worship God. I don't want you to be saved. They're not going to look you in the face and tell you that. But He says they've crept in and you haven't noticed. God's not going to fool you. Because He says the Word of God opens our hearts. It opens our eyes. And we have to make a choice. Because a lot of people believe in predestination. Jude shows us that everything that has happened to this world for those that have fallen has been a choice. We have loved ones that are trapped in the predestination idea. It doesn't matter what you do. God either saves you or you're lost. Whole denominations that cover that. But anyway, there's people that have crept into our house. And when you're sitting there eating dinner, they're standing over your shoulder and you don't even realize it. That's what God's trying to tell us here. Now certainly if somebody's in your house looking over your shoulder when you're eating, you're probably going to figure that one out. But God says, that's what's happening and you haven't noticed. Verse 6, He covers the fallen angels. He says, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode, He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Those angels, those fallen angels that were once servants of God, those are some that have crept into our place. They're demons. We don't like to talk about that stuff much. We don't like to think about that stuff much. But they tempt us. They alter things. These creatures once served God, and they made a choice not to. And God says that these people, because these angels listened to somebody, the devil convinced them, a third of the heavenly host, to follow Him. How'd that happen? See, they didn't notice what was going on. They thought that it was going to turn out okay. They listened to everybody but God. And there are people in our life that are like that. It happened to the angels. God holds them accountable for this. The world before the law of Moses, condemning their immoral homosexual lifestyle. Nothing fires up a crowd any more than a person that is transgender or homosexual, and they come out and they just want to flaunt it in front of the world, and a crowd will go crazy. Nothing will fire up a crowd more than that. Jude 7 says, as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality. See, a lot of people will tell you that Sodom and Gomorrah was all about they weren't very polite to those people. They weren't nice to those people. And that was the problem. Because God was all about hospitality. It was a custom with the Jews and all this. But see, that's not what Jude said was the problem with Sodom and Gomorrah. They were sexual immorality and they'd gone after strange flesh. The guys would see another guy and get inflamed. And the women didn't want the attention of the men. They went after the attention of the other women. That's what God says, strange flesh. It shouldn't be that way. And they're set forth as an example. To who? Was it just to that world then? Well, I mean, we still have homosexuals today. We still have that lifestyle rampant today. And unjudged, unchecked, and just with reckless abandon everywhere. So it wasn't just as an example for them. But He says that example was suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. It meant that God disapproved of that lifestyle. That was before the law of Moses. Because a lot of people say, well, that was just the Old Testament. That was before the law of Moses, before that testament came into play. This is the way God has always felt. He held them accountable. Those who condone that or any disobedient lifestyle. You may not be homosexual, but you may tell somebody that there's nothing wrong with that. You may say that it's okay and that you're not going to condemn them. You're not going to make a stand against them. Why? Because they're your friends. Bless you. They're your friends. They're people that you have been around for your entire life. And then one day they come to you and say, I'm gay. What are you going to do? You've known them their entire life to say, whoop, get away from me. It's just not that easy to break that bond. And God said this is the sort of thing that creeps in on us because, see, there's been a bond formed. Not between you and the Word of God the way it's supposed to be, but between you and that person. And God said you've got to be careful about that because they creep in unnoticed. Jude 8 through 9 says, likewise also these dreamers defile the flesh. They reject authority and they speak evil of dignitaries. We can't condone that sort of lifestyle. And you know, you don't need God in your life. You don't need to be a Christian to make that decision. There's some people who have nothing to do with God, but don't believe in that lifestyle at all. So you don't have to have God in your life for that one. But God is telling us here that He holds the angels accountable. He held the early world accountable before the law of Moses, and He'll hold these people accountable that condone this. See, even the angels in heaven today are held accountable. Jude 9 says, yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Why? See, those angels that fell, they rose above someone else. Any time that we put ourselves in a position where we think that we're better than somebody else, we run the risk of allowing that stuff to creep into our life. Because we can be our worst enemy. We're not so bad, right? I mean, we can live with ourselves, most of us. You know what I'm saying? And so, when we condone certain things in our life, it's not just about the homosexual lifestyle, but see, even the angels are held accountable for what they do. And so God has given us these examples, and He's telling us to watch out for the things that we let involved in our life. Because if those angels hadn't listened to Satan, they wouldn't have failed. If they'd have listened to God, they wouldn't have failed. If we wouldn't let bonds form in our life that doesn't have anything to do with God, or we would hold those bonds above God, we would hold off some of those things that creep into our life. Jude 11 says, woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. This idea that God has that He's showing us in Jude takes it all the way back to the garden. Ever since the world began, God has always felt this way. They have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit and perished in the rebellion of Korah. All these things, He's touching on different things in our life, things that we can certainly get behind. The Civil War that happened was very passionate. It was the North and the South. Like coming in. It was very passionate about the North and the South. People got behind these ideas to fight. People got behind these ideas to rise up. And God says that all these things that happen, these things can trick us. Hey, Melvin. They said that these things can trick us. These things can slide in on us and we don't realize. And you think it's not important? It deceived the angels who looked God, the Father, in the face. So who are we? They didn't realize what happened. They didn't realize what was happening. They thought that what was being told to them was going to be the truth and it was going to be victorious. And they fell. Who are we? See this, but when people want to talk about the New Testament and people want to read about New Testament books, they want to chop off everything from the Old Testament back. But they're fooling themselves because they can't do that because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're not New Testament books. They're Old Testament books. So if you chop off Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you chop off Jesus. You've got to have the Old Testament in order to understand the New Testament. This is what they used in the early church to tell people about Jesus. Look, my point is here, this fight did not start with the rejection of Jesus and the Messiah. The problems that are talked about in the New Testament, the warnings that are given in the New Testament, we can't start with the fact that Jesus showed up and they rejected Him. If we believe Jude at all, when we're getting ready to go into Revelation, which shows both Old and New Testament saints, the judgment of the world, the judgment of the saints, and the end of the world and the bringing in of the new heaven and new earth, we've got to believe that Jude is showing us that it has always been this way. It didn't just start when Jesus showed up and they said, "I don't want Him, crucify Him." And they thought, well, good day. From that point on, it was just madness. Rebellion to the Lord can always blossom in our heart because we allow lies with pretty phrases to creep in unnoticed. People wonder why they find themselves in a certain place. And it's because they've become complacent in their life. It's because they have allowed things that don't appear sin to them. And they've allowed them to take over their life. And there's no room anymore for God in there. We can't have this. See, Jude is warning us. God saw it so important that He put this one book, 20-some verses in there, to speak to us. He could have made another book longer. He could have put a longer book in there, but this was one book, no chapters, and He thought it was this important to speak to us. Jude 12 and 13, He says, "These." That's all the examples we just went over. From the beginning of the garden, from the beginning of time, up until now. He says, "Are spots in your love feast, while they feast without fear, serving only themselves." You know what love feast He's talking about? He's talking about coming around this table. He's bringing all of these examples that we've read in the Old Testament that you have been told for years does not matter because it's Old Testament junk. It's stories and history. Doesn't mean anything. Oh, that was God in the Old Testament. He's bringing all these examples as warnings to you sitting in the church around this table and saying that there are things that have crept in to your life and crept into this church that are sitting in here, possibly, that would lead you away if you would listen to them. All those examples of the Old Testament that we thought were just stories and didn't matter, He's bringing them right here and putting them around this table. And this is how God sees those who live that sort of life and are disobedient to Him. He says, "They," those examples, "are clouds without water, carried away, carried about by the winds. They're late autumn leaves without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. They're raging waves of sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." And He's telling that to the church. Who are we? This kind of deception deceived the angels. Who are we? This kind of deception when Moses was there and Abraham and all these people in Sodom and Gomorrah, and when in the early world when God was working through people and they didn't want to listen then either, and cities were burned with fire that come down out of heaven. If that happened today, wouldn't we pay attention? Probably not. They didn't then either, because it didn't squelch that lifestyle. People have come to a place where they said that lifestyle's fine. Rebellion that has crept in to the house of God, into your life, into your homes, that has caused us to create a distance between us and our Savior. And we have to be careful about that, because the Bible says it is unnoticed. You know what unnoticed means? See, the devil wants all these words to become complacent to you. The devil wants all these things to just rattle on, and he wants to snatch these words. And God wants to wake you up with these words. And He uses somebody like me, somebody, a preacher like me, and he takes these words unnoticed. Everybody takes a shower, you know, and they got these little things in the drain, and they pop up and down. I don't like that, so I take it out so the water can freely flow, and I think, you know, what's going to clog up my drain? What's going to happen? So we're going through Lowe's, and Melissa sees this thing, and it's silver, and it's real big. It's a strainer, and it's got rubber around it so that it sits at the bottom tub. She said, "We need to get one of those." Well, yeah, sure, whatever, I don't care. So we put it down in there, and we're taking a shower, and I go in there, and guess what I see in the drain? Hair. Hair from your head. Hair. Clumps of hair. I'm like, oh my gosh, look at their hair. This is crazy. This was going down the drain. I didn't notice that. Because of all appearances, I thought everything was just nothing. It was nothing. I didn't see nothing washing down the drain. But that's not the deception. Here's the deception. I took a shower. I get out of the shower. I turn back and look. It wasn't their hair. Just their hair. It was my hair too. That's unnoticed. Nowhere would I have thought that I would be able to, as a dude, wash my hair and reach down in a drain and pick up hair like that. I would have thought it was somebody else. He wouldn't have convinced me it had been mine. That's what unnoticed means. God is speaking to you. Me, us. Always remember that God is speaking to you. And he says that people who don't listen to that, they are wandering stars from whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. See, remember, these people have not been idle. Scripture says they have not been idle since they were way back when they were set out for destruction and they were singled out. The Bible says they haven't been idle. And nor are they ignorant of Scripture. You come to some people and they know John 3:16 and they know Romans and they know these passages, but they don't know them. They think they know them. They've been deceived. They think they know about salvation. It is up to us to show them they don't know about salvation. Because something has crept into their life. A lie. And as Christians, the one thing that the Holy Spirit does in our life, not just the one thing, but one of the things that He does with uttermost clarity, if we stay in the Word of God, He reveals that lie. And we can see it for what it is. So we have to help them. We have to help them. If we don't, who's going to? Jude has given us this warning. But see, Scripture reveals their hearts. They twist it. They argue against it with their mouth, with their lifestyle, and what they approve of. Do we know anyone like that? Do we know anyone that wants to argue against Scripture just to, anytime you say something, well, that's not what John 3:16 said. Well, that's not what this said. Oh, I can't worship on Saturday. And they just want to throw all these things at you. Do you know anybody like that? Those people that you just thought of, Scripture says they reveal their hearts. And this is why they argue. Jude 16 says they are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust, and their mouth, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. They don't care. They don't care. They want to do what they want to do, and they don't care if God Almighty Himself tells you you can't do it. They just want to do it. That's all they want to do. And the Bible says that these people have allowed something to creep into their life. It was unnoticed, and it tricked them. Because I guarantee you, there will be no one on Judgment Day that would rather be in hell than to be forgiven by the Lord. But now, oh hey, we got a fun world to live in. We got a lot of things to do. We got a lot of pleasures to have. You don't hear about church where they tell you that sin is pleasurable, do they? I mean, that's not really they want to tell you that God takes that away. No. Jude 17 through 19, but you beloved, remember those words that were spoken of, that were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, all those Old Testament examples fit in the church age because that's when the apostles were. How they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. They are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. If you have a real emotional person and you have someone who is very, I guess, analytical, very right-brained, I guess that's the word for it. They think more than they feel. Both of these are very good. You know, I should be able to put my hands on my wife's face and look at her in the eyes, and she should be able to feel that connection. But then I should also be able to realize that it can't be that way all the time. You know what I'm saying? these two people have to come together. The logic and reason, our heart and our minds, they have to come together. Because he says that they're sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. If you do not have the Spirit of God, if you do not have the knowledge of God, a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, if you do not have this relationship with the Lord, you don't have a spiritual promise. You don't have a spiritual hope. And all they have is what's in the flesh. And so these things that creep into your life, they allure to you by the flesh. They promise you things in the flesh. Satisfaction. All these things. Okay? See, just because we want to do it or it feels right doesn't make it okay in the eyes of God. All of us are in the flesh. So I don't know what you struggle with. I know what I struggle with. I would imagine it's too different. Because we're human. We've seen all these examples in the Old Testament about desires that come upon us and things that we have to fight against. And I wouldn't imagine that they're too different. But irregardless, even if they are different, there's still struggles in the flesh. But we're not permitted to give in because we hunger. Because we want things that are disobedient to God. He's already given us examples of how He was going to take care of those lifestyles. Jude 20:21 says, "But you, beloved," He's talking to us, "building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself." It's a fight in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. These things that have crept into our life unnoticed, these things that we weren't aware of, they're pulling us away from God. They're in our life. The Bible says they're sitting in the church. He says they feast around this table and they said that they don't have any remorse. They don't have any regard for this table. All these things that have crept in unnoticed, we haven't seen them. We wouldn't have thought it would have been us. We wouldn't have thought that the Bible was talking to us in this manner. With all of these examples that He gave, He would have thought we was talking about somebody else. Hebrews 11:25 says, "Choosing rather to suffer affliction," this is what you was talking about this morning, it was talking about Moses, "that he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin." Nobody told you in the church that sin was pleasurable. It feels good. We want it. It feels good. But God says that pleasure is a passing pleasure. And he's trying to get us to see here. It's not affliction that we have that God is putting on us. The world is putting that on us. But in our minds, in the flesh, we need to understand that when we look at the world, we see pleasurable sin. And when we look at serving God, suffer affliction. Does that mean? What does that mean? Does that mean that we're going to hate what we're doing? He's showing you it's going to be that different. He's showing you it's going to be that different from what you were used to and how you felt to how you see things and how you do things now. Because suffering affliction and pleasurable sin, they're two different worlds. And it's going to be two different worlds. God's not telling you He's going to bring rain nails down on you and you're going to lose all your hair and you're going to get whatever. He's not telling you this stuff. He's trying to show you a contrast here between those that live for God and those that don't. And the mindset that's there. It's going to be totally different. Galatians 5:16-17 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What does the flesh lust after? I'll let you answer that. The flesh lusts after what the flesh wants. Whatever that is. And when we lust after something, it preys on our minds and we just want it. We want to touch it. We want to taste it. We want to hold it. We want it. But I want you to understand that He says, for that kind of lust, we can understand, but it says the flesh lusts against the Spirit. See, that thing that has crept into our life, into our homes, into our churches, hates God. and it lusts after pushing it out of your life. Just like we lust for those things that are bad to hold on to and to touch. Just like we struggle with, I should do this, I want this. The Bible says that that thing that has crept into our life lusts against pushing God out of our life. And when you falter, it just feels good. Because this thing in our life is trying to push God out of our life. Jude is warning us about this. It deceived the angels. It deceived the early world. It deceived Cain. It deceived Adam and Eve. And he says here that the spirit against the flesh. See, the spirit lusts against pushing that stuff out. And these are contrary to one another so that you do not do the things that you wish. There's two things you can look at there. This is my last slide. The two things that you can look at is either you want to be godly, but something stands in the way, so you don't get to do what you wish. Or that you're sitting here today, but there's someplace else you'd rather be because there's something else that you hunger for. And so you find yourself not doing what you should do, but what you want to do. And there's something in your life that is pushing that back and forth. It's not just a thought. It's not just, oh, Calvin's crazy. There's something in your life that's doing this. And God is trying to be the anchor to keep you steady. Because that thing in your life that's crept in and you didn't know it was there, it's trying to pull you away. It's trying to cause you to fail. And when you do this, it just feels so good because it works through that flesh and it just sends those waves across and you're like, oh man, this is great. It's like jumping in a pool when it's nice and cool and you're hot and sweaty and it just refreshing because it works through the flesh. You wouldn't think that's the feeling so good would be so bad. Jude is warning us because you see, those examples that we looked into, like the fallen angels, what happened was they gave into their desires. That's it. What you want to do and you know that's wrong, they just did it. And they had no remorse for it. None. They'd fly out in front of the world. They'd fly out in the face of God. Because that thing in your life that crept in, it just feels so good to do this. You wouldn't think that, would you? But Jude warns us that lust against the flesh and the flesh against the spirit, that fight, it simply comes down to a choice. Can you choose not to sin from this day forward? Paul says that he was the chief among sinners. And he said, why am I still judged as a sinner? We're in the flesh. We're going to fall. But God has made a way out of that for us. Repentance, a lifestyle, Scripture, forgiveness, mercy. We got to want it. See, we have to want it. We can't do it and then just beg for forgiveness. That can't be our mindset. We have to want it. We have to want to live that life. We have to have the Spirit in our life because all of these things that happen, all of the strength, all of the power that God gives us in our life comes through that Holy Spirit working through this word. We can't as a non-Christian just pick up this word and claim the promises of God. Why? Because they're not for non-Christians. This book was written to Christians. This book was written to those that would what? Hear God. If you don't hear God, these words mean nothing. It's just like reading a romance novel or a war story or a crime mystery. When it's done, you finish reading, it's done. Yeah, it was okay. No truer words were ever spoken. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, because we need it, because we need that forgiveness, because we're sinners. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. And He made you that promise. And so now you have the grace of God, but you have something in your life that's trying to push out that grace of God. So what are you going to do? You have a choice to make. if you've not been immersed into Christ for remission of sin to receive, to be saved, if that's not happened in your life, come forward. If you have been, understand that you have the full authority of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit in your life to fight that devil, to push him out, to fight those things that have crept into your life. When you turn on the light, you'll start seeing things. You'll realize, no big deal now. When I get out of the shower, I reach back and pull out my own hair and throw it away. Never would have thought it. Unnoticed. Don't think you can notice something that's unnoticed. God has to show you. And that's what he's doing today. So what's your decision as we stand and sing our hymn of invitation?